Traditionally, writing software has always felt a little bit like setting up an incredibly complex, massive room full of
Oh,
dominoes.
yeah, for sure.
Like, you place each line of code perfectly, you meticulously check the spacing, you flick that first domino, and you just sort of, you pray they all fall exactly the way you planned.
Right, because it's highly deterministic. It's binary, really. I mean, if one single domino is placed even a millimeter off, the entire chain reaction just stops cold. The whole system fails.
Exactly. But okay, imagine if, right as that chain reaction hit the misplaced domino, the dominoes themselves could just, I don't know, stand back up.
Stand back up. Yeah.
Imagine they could look at the gap, realize what went wrong, build a little bridge over that gap, and then keep the chain reaction going completely on their own.
Which is wild to even think about.
It is. And today we are looking at the official documentation for the newly renamed Claude Agent SDK.
Yeah.
And to our listeners, welcome back to another deep dive.
Yeah, and that rename, by the way, from the Claude Code SDK to the Agent SDK, that is a massive signal.
It really is. So our mission today is to kind of cut through all the dense developer jargon in these docs and understand how this specific tool shifts the entire paradigm. We are officially moving from just, talking to an AI in a chat window to actually deploying autonomous AI workers capable of reading files, editing code, and browsing the live web on your behalf.
This matters deeply for anyone touching software today. Like, we are officially moving past the era of treating AI like a really smart reference book where you type a question, get a block of code, and then manually copy-paste it into your IDE.
Right, it's exhausting.
Yeah, this SDK provides the actual building blocks of software that writes, runs, and fixes itself.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because to define what this SDK actually is, I think we have to look at the pain points of what came right before it.
Oh, absolutely.
The documentation specifically contrasts this new agent SDK with their existing client SDK. And, to a casual user, it sounds like a minor naming difference. But from an engineering perspective, it's night and day, right?
Night and day.
Yeah.
Totally. Under the hood, if you're using the standard client SDK, getting the AI to use a tool is it's essentially a massive game of JSON ping pong.
Chase on ping pong. I like that.
It is the perfect way to describe the bottleneck. In the standard client SDK, you send a prompt, right? But the AI doesn't actually execute anything.
It just tells you what it wants to do.
Exactly. It replies with a block of text formatted as JSON saying, essentially, hey, I want to run a search function with these parameters. And then you, the developer, you have to write all the boilerplate code that catches that JSON payload, parses it, executes the local search function on your machine, grabs the results,
Grabs the results, right?
formats those results back into another JSON payload, and finally sends it back to the AI.
Over and over again. And managing that quote unquote tool loop manually, I mean, that means dealing with context windows, rate limits, error handling for every single ping pong volley.
It's exhausting.
It sounds incredibly tedious. Like, if I'm building an application, I want to spend my time designing the core features, not, writing infrastructure just to pass text strings back and forth.
Which is exactly why the Agent SDK, and this is available in both Python and TypeScript, by the way, it fundamentally changes the architecture.
Right.
Now, it does require the Opus 4.7 model, specifically Agent SDK version 0.2.111 or later. But once you have that set up, Claude handles that entire execution loop natively.
So you don't build the loop at all.
You don't build the loop. The SDK has built-in tool execution. It absorbs that entire JSON ping pong match into just a single back-end process.
Okay, I'm trying to visualize this. Let's think about a restaurant kitchen. The old client SDK is basically like having a brilliantly skilled chef who is literally locked in a glass box.
Oh, I like this analogy.
Right. Every time they need an ingredient, they have to write a note, slide it under the door, and wait for you to go to the fridge, get the onion, chop it, and slide it back.
What's fascinating here is that your analogy highlights the exact mechanism of the shift. The new Agent SDK essentially unlocks the glass box and gives the chef permission to open the fridge, grab the onion, use the stovetop, and just plate the dish themselves.
They just do the work.
Yeah, it frees developers to focus entirely on the application logic rather than the plumbing of, context management and execution loops.
But opening the fridge is one thing. The documentation lists a built-in arsenal of tools that this agent can use right out of the box.
Yeah.
Let's dig into what the chef is actually allowed to touch.
Well, the file management capabilities alone give it immense autonomy. You have tools called read, write, and edit.
Read and write are pretty self-explanatory.
They are, but edit is particularly interesting because it allows the agent to make highly precise, surgical changes to specific lines of code without rewriting the entire file.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, when you're dealing with a massive code base, replacing a single line rather than regenerating a 2,000-line file, I mean, that saves massive amounts of compute and time.
And to find those specific lines, it has built-in search. I see glob and grep listed in the docs here.
Right. So glob allows the agent to find files by pattern. If it needs to locate, say, every single TypeScript test file hidden deep within some nested folder structure, it runs a glob pattern.
Gotcha.
Then it can use grep to search through the actual text inside those files using regular expressions. It can autonomously hunt down specific variables, deprecated functions, or error codes across thousands of files, like, instantly.
That is powerful. There's also one called Ask User Question. I honestly love the design choice there.
It's a great feature.
It allows the agent to pause its autonomous loop and literally ask the human user a clarifying question, even providing multiple choice options. It basically acts as a circuit breaker when things get ambiguous.
Keeping the human in the loop is a critical design philosophy here, but, you know, the agent goes much further than just asking questions or editing text files.
Okay, this is where I have to throw a massive red flag. Yeah, looking at this list, there is a tool called Bash. The documentation clearly states this allows the agent to run terminal commands, run shell scripts, and execute Git operations.
Yeah, it does.
Giving an AI the ability to autonomously run raw terminal commands on my local machine. That sounds incredibly risky.
Right.
Like, what stops it from hallucinating and executing a command that wipes my entire database or deletes critical system files?
This raises an important question, and Anthropic absolutely anticipated that exact fear. You are never just letting the AI run wild in your terminal. They built two very strict granular layers of safety into the agent SDK.
Okay, what's the first layer?
The first layer is permissions.
So it's an opt-in system.
Entirely opt-in. Developers must explicitly set a configuration variable called allowed tools.
Ah, okay.
If you do not list a tool in that array, the agent is physically incapable of invoking it. The documentation provides a scenario of creating a purely analytical read-only agent.
So you just don't give it the right keys.
Right. You configure allowed tools to only include read, glob, and grep. You now have a powerful agent that can scour your code base and report bugs, but it absolutely cannot modify a single character or run a terminal command.
That definitely lowers my blood pressure. I can just deny it the write and bash tools entirely if I don't trust the deployment environment. But what if I do want it to write code, but I want to double check its work before it hits save?
That brings us to the second, more sophisticated layer of safety, which is hooks. The SDK uses lifecycle callback functions. The documentation highlights pre-tool use, post-tool use, and stop.
So these are basically intercept points in the code.
Exactly.
Okay.
Let's say you grant the agent the bash tool. You can set up a pre-tool use hook that intercepts the agent's thought process right before it actually executes the terminal command.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah, that hook can trigger your own custom Python or TypeScript code to validate the command. You could write a script that checks if the proposed command contains a dangerous keyword like rm for remove or drop table.
So if it tries to drop a table?
If it does, your hook can block the behavior, log the attempt to an audit file, or even force the agent to use the Ask User Question tool to get explicit human approval first.
Wow. You can literally audit its thought process, run security checks against it, and validate its actions in real time before anything actually happens.
It provides the observability that enterprise production environments really require. And speaking of observability, there's another tool called Monitor.
Monitor.
Yeah, the agent can spawn a background process, like a server script, and then tail the logs. It watches the output in real time, reacting to new lines as events.
Wait, are you saying if a background server crashes and throws an error log, the agent could just be sitting there watching the terminal output, spot the stack trace, yeah, realize what caused the crash, and immediately pivot to fix the code that caused it?
That is the exact level of autonomy the SDK is designed to support.
Okay, so we have a safely contained, highly capable solo worker.
Hmm.
But building enterprise software is rarely a solo job, right?
Very true.
If I have a massive project like migrating a legacy monolith architecture to microservices, one agent trying to process that sequentially is going to be a massive bottleneck.
And the architecture scales up specifically to solve that bottleneck through subagents. The agent SDK allows the primary agent to spawn its own specialized child agents.
Wait, wait. If I have 20 sub-agents running simultaneously, taking on different migration tasks, that sounds like an absolute auditing nightmare.
How so?
Well, if one of them misinterprets a legacy function and breaks a core component, how do I even track down which AI made the mistake, let alone what instructions it was following at the time?
Ah, the developers accounted for that complex orchestration. To enable this, you simply add agent to the allowed tools array. This turns the AI itself into a tool that the main agent can invoke.
Okay.
But more importantly, every single message generated by a subagent includes a crucial metadata tag called parent to lucid.
Ah, so that creates a deterministic paper trail.
Exactly. The main agent acts as the orchestrator. It delegates a chunk of work, the subagent processes it and reports back, and that parent to lucid gives you, the human developer, a clean, traceable hierarchy.
That makes a lot of sense.
You can look at the logs and see exactly which child agent executed a flawed reject search and trace it back up the tree to the specific prompt the parent agent gave it.
Here's where it gets really interesting. This is effectively a digital corporate structure.
It really is.
The main agent is the project manager, and it's hiring specialized contractors for specific gigs while keeping all the receipts. But let's push this further. A project manager's team still needs access to external systems. The built-in file reading tools are great for local code, but what if they need to pull data from our company's proprietary database or interact with a live web application?
This introduces a critical piece of the ecosystem, which is MCP, or the Model Context Protocol. MCP is what bridges the gap between the agent's local environment and the rest of the world. It's an open standard that dictates how AI models connect to external data sources.
Rather than me having to write fragile, custom API wrappers for every single service we use.
Exactly. Beyond just skipping wrappers, MCP establishes a standardized client-server architecture. Your agent runs an MCP client, and it can connect to any MCP server, which exposes specific resources and tools in a predictable JSON RPC format.
Right.
And the documentation highlights a particularly mind-bending example for this, the Playwright MCP server.
Playwright is traditionally used by QA engineers for automating web browsers, right? Like simulating a user, clicking through a site to test it.
By plugging the Playwright MCP server into your agent, you are essentially giving your digital worker a pair of digital hands to interact with the live web. It doesn't just read static HTML.
It actually uses the browser.
Yes. The agent can autonomously launch a Chromium browser, navigate to a complex dynamic website, inspect the document object model to find specific buttons, click them, fill out authentication forms, and scrape the resulting data.
Let me visualize this. If the agent is trying to scrape data and website's layout suddenly changes, say a button moves from the top navigation bar to a sidebar, a traditional static scraping script would just break and throw a selector not found error.
But an autonomous agent using the Playwright MCP would see the error, analyze the new page structure, realize the button moved to a different HTML class in the sidebar, rewrite its own navigation logic on the fly, click the new button, and successfully retrieve the data.
It fixes its own broken script in real time.
Completely autonomously.
That is a staggering level of resilience.
Yeah.
But if we pull back to the day-to-day reality of using this, how does this workforce maintain consistency? We have a scalable team of sub-agents browsing the web and modifying databases. But if they're constantly jumping between tasks, how do we prevent them from losing the plot?
Context is always tricky.
Right. If a human engineering team logs off for the day, they don't forget our coding standards when they log back in tomorrow.
Context management has traditionally been the Achilles heel of AI development. But the Agent SDK tackles this through robust sessions and configuration management. First, Claude natively maintains context across exchanges in a given session, remembering the files it analyzed and the decisions it made.
And I assume you can serialize or save that session state.
You capture the session ID, which allows you to pause operations, shut down your machine, and later resume that exact session with the entire historical context perfectly intact. But even more powerful is the ability to fork a session.
Fork it, like creating a parallel timeline.
Think of it like branching in Git. Mm-hmm. Imagine your agent hits a complex architectural crossroad. It needs to resolve a severe database bottleneck. You can fork the session state at that exact moment.
Okay, I'm following.
In timeline A, you instruct the agent to try optimizing the SQL queries. In timeline B, you instruct a cloned version of the agent to explore implementing a caching layer. Both agents retain the full memory of the project leading up to that point, but they explore completely different solutions in parallel without corrupting the original state.
That is slightly mind-bending, but incredibly useful for testing complex fixes without breaking things.
Yeah.
But what about broader project knowledge? Does the agent just have to relearn the quote-unquote rules of the house every time I start a completely new session?
No, the SDK heavily utilizes file system configuration to solve that. It looks for specific configuration files placed in the root directory of your project. For example, it reads skill.md to understand any highly specialized custom capabilities you've built for it.
And the documentation also mentions clay.ie.md.
Yeah, clay.md acts as the persistent institutional memory for the project. You can hard code your engineering team's specific styling guidelines, architectural rules, or deployment checklists into that markdown file.
So it's always referenced.
Whenever the agent starts working in that directory, it automatically ingests clde.md and applies those constraints to its behavior. Onboarding the AI to a new code base is basically as simple as dropping a text file into the folder.
So what does this all mean when we look at the fine print? Because the deployment rules and branding guidelines detailed in this documentation are surprisingly strict.
They are very specific, yes.
On the deployment side, it supports authentication via API keys from the Anthropic console, but it also natively supports third-party providers. They specifically list Amazon Bedrock, Google Vertex AI, and Microsoft Azure Foundry.
That multi-cloud support is a massive signal to enterprise users. Large corporations generally don't want to spin up new vendor relationships and billing pipelines if they don't have to.
Right. Procurement takes forever.
Exactly. If a Fortune 500 company is already deeply embedded in AWS or Google Cloud, they can utilize their existing enterprise cloud credentials and security environments to run the agent SDK.
But then we get to the restrictions. Anthropic explicitly states that third-party developers are forbidden from offering Claude.ai logins or rate limits for their own products using this SDK. And regarding branding, you are allowed to say Claude Agent or powered by Claude, but you are strictly forbidden from using the term Claude Code or mimicking any of their ASCII art in your terminal UI.
Yep.
Why give away the underlying engine, but act so fiercely protective of the paint job?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, these strict commercial terms actually validate the SDK's position in the market. Anthropic is drawing a very hard, deliberate line between their own end-user application, which is Claude-cummed, and the underlying infrastructure they are providing to developers.
Oh, I see. They want to prevent a scenario where a startup builds a really buggy, terrible application, slaps a Claude Code ASCII logo on the terminal, and completely dilutes the brand trust Anthropic has built.
That's the core of it. Use of the SDK is governed by Anthropic's commercial terms of service. They are explicitly telling the developer community, hey, you can use this engine to build highly lucrative commercial enterprise-grade tools that you sell to your own clients. It is robust enough for production, but you must manage your own user authentication, bill your own customers, and build your own brand identity.
They're handing you a ridiculously powerful engine, but demanding you build your own chassis, paint it yourself, and put your own emblem on the hood.
Yeah.
Which honestly, for a serious development team building a SaaS product, is exactly what you want.
You want to own your product.
Right. You want the raw autonomous power without looking like an Anthropic subsidiary.
It proves that this is a production-grade enterprise tool, not just an experimental beta.
Well, we have covered some massive ground today. Let's distill this deep dive down. The Claude Agent SDK takes arguably the hardest, most brittle parts of AI software engineering. You know, the JSON execution loops, the context management, and the raw tool integration, and it just handles them natively.
Yeah, it completely abstracts that away.
It allows developers to spin up autonomous AI workers that are secure via granular permissions and hooks, scalable via subagents and the model context protocol, and highly capable right out of the box with built-in tools for reading, writing, and executing code.
It fundamentally elevates the developer's role from writing every line of instruction to orchestrating high-level problem solving.
Which leads us with a final thought to mull over for you, the listener. If an AI agent can now autonomously fork its own memory sessions to explore parallel coding pathways, and if it can spawn specialized subagents tracked via unique IDs.
And rewrite its own scripts.
Exactly. If it can use MCP to rewrite its own scripts to navigate live web browsers and databases completely without human intervention.
It requires a completely different mindset.
It really does. At a certain point, you aren't an engineer typing syntax anymore. You're acting more like an HR manager, overseeing, auditing, and directing a massive, tireless digital workforce.
It's a huge shift.
We are moving from meticulously stacking rigid dominoes to managing a team that can build the dominoes, arrange them, and knock them down all by themselves. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the Claude Agent SDK. There is a whole new frontier of autonomous development here, and we highly encourage you to dig into the documentation, see what kind of workforce you can build.